bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. My friends, it is Friday, December 4th, 2020, and as we prepare for the Christmas season coming up, I want to just say thank you for all those listeners out there who have tuned in with our radio station throughout the year. Today we have a special show for you, and our show is dedicated to all of our veterans that stood up strong for the United States of America and who gave their time, talent, and made this ultimate sacrifice for freedom and democracy, both here at home and abroad. So I want to say thank you up front to all of our veterans out there. And my friends, as you know, the WINGS program is here at Holy Spirit Radio, and we are an affiliate station of EWTN. It is 1570 AM WISP and 1420 WCOJ. And as you know, the WINGS program is an inmate reentry and recovery program, which is designed to help men to make practical changes in how they think. And today we're going to be talking with Keith Hunt, who is a graduate of the WINGS program. He is a graduate about 5 years ago, and he's going to share with you a little bit about how he came into the WINGS program, what brought him into jail, and give us really a little bit of background on himself. So, Keith, are you there?
Yeah, John, I'm here.
Okay, Keith, welcome to the program. And I want to just say, again, welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. This is a special opportunity. And Keith and I met, again, inside the Philadelphia Department of Corrections. And it wasn't but a couple of weeks ago where he reached out to me and called me because he was looking for a mentor. So, Keith, again, I welcome you to the program. And why is it that you actually called me a couple of weeks ago?
Okay. Well, I met you in 2015 around that time frame. And I've learned a few things from WINGS that I never left my mind, where I had to be accountable to my own self and how to manage my week. And that really sort of formed something that I didn't ever experience, because I never did that thing. Like, I never held myself accountable. And so just recently, I just had another child. I have two children. I have a daughter. I'm trying to change my life. And I know the next step in my life is I need a mentor. I need someone to guide me. And sitting there thinking, your name came in my head. And it was only about 15 minutes after I started thinking that I needed a mentor, because I have no one else to guide me, and I don't want to get stuck in the same routine. I need to explore my – I have too much potential to just stay where I'm at, and I need help on the way. And you came to my mind.
And that's awesome. And that's the way God works, really. He puts people into your life when you need them the most. And certainly we have a history. If we go back into the Philadelphia Department of Corrections, which facility were you at?
I was at the Philadelphia Industrial Correction Center.
Okay, which we call PIC. And so, you know, back then we had anywhere from 30 to 45 guys there twice a week. And it was a very unique opportunity to mentor our men inside prison walls, if you will. And so I'm really glad that you called and came back into the WINGS program on the outside of prison walls. And what was your greatest challenge, Keith, inside prison?
My drug addiction.
Your drug addiction. And what was your drug of choice?
I like heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine.
Okay. And so, I mean, have you ever had any friends who have overdosed on these drugs?
I sort of created, when I was 18 years old, I was with an older woman, and I sort of created a heroin problem amongst my friends from just me using it and the pill epidemic back then. One of my friends is dead, and one of my friends lost one of his legs, and he has a pacemaker. His name is Patrick Riley.
And you know, Keith, that's a sad story, really, you know, about what can happen to friends, excuse me, and family members. But how is it that you got into drugs? How old were you, and how did you get started?
My father owned a bar, and my father had me on the weekends, and my father had to be at work. So at a very young age, about 6 years old, that's what I was doing on my weekend.
Okay, so, you know...
So that's all I've seen adults doing, because I wasn't experienced adults, only at school. So when I've seen them all my life on the weekend, that's what I've seen them do, and I thought that was really, really cool.
Okay, and how many years have you been addicted to drugs?
I'm 29 years old, since I've been 13 years old.
So 16 years. More than half of your life, and it's a long time.
More than half of my life.
Have you ever gone through a recovery program?
I've done about 7 rehabs.
And, you know, nationwide, there's an 83% failure rate in terms of recovery. And so we see people coming out of recovery and then going back into recovery. And it is a very,
to change yourself. You have to be willing to change yourself.
And what is the number one change that you have had to make?
That I believe I have a purpose.
Okay, so at some point in your life, you felt that you had no purpose?
Yeah, at all.
Right, and so now you feel like you have a purpose, you have a mission.
I know I do.
Yeah, absolutely, we all have that. And the Wings program, we talk about that because, you know, really, to succeed in life, you need to have goals, short-term and long-term goals. And you need a mission. A lot of people actually retire and at like 65, 70 years old, and they enter into a mild depression because they don't have a mission to wake up in the morning. They don't have something that drives them, something that inspires them to go further. And so you're only, how old are you now, 31?
About to be
30 years old in January. So you have a birthday coming up. So you're going to be 30 years old and entering your 30s. And basically you have, you know, another good 50 to 60 years of good living. And it's really up to you, you know, because in the Wings program, we've had at least 10 people who have, overdosed on various drugs and who have died in the program, both men and women. And some of those people are actually on our website. Their stories, their testimonies is all we have left. And so you're here today, you know, you're alive, you're focusing on doing something good with your life, developing your mission, developing a balanced life. And if you remember, Keith, in the Wings program, we talk about balance, spiritually, mentally, and physically for the mind, body, and soul. And this is the
family, God. Yeah,
and this is the balance is one of the four fundamentals of the Wings program, where our mind, our body, and our spirit are being developed in a positive way each and every day, so that we can find the peace that God wants for us. Because if you're out of balance, you have no peace, and if you have no peace, you can't put joy into your life. So our goal is to find peace. It's one of the great goals in the Wings program. And through living a balanced life, you know, we can find that peace. And we have to find that balance through having our priorities also in alignment, where we have God first, then you, then family, then work, and then community service and hobbies and sports. They're all important, but we have the priorities listed as such. And we have to have balance between work and family, between sports and family, between hobbies and family, community service and family. We can do many things, but we don't want to lose the family to work, sports, hobbies, community service. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, and this is where we have to be cognizant of what we're doing with our time, how we manage our time. You know, time management is like one of the main core fundamentals of the WINGS program. And so we have a total of 168 hours a week of time to utilize in a positive way. Nothing can be negative in the week, Monday to Sunday, all 7 days, 24 hours a day. All of that time has to be positive. It can be no negative people, no negative habits, because that can only lead to regression, setting us back, wasting time. And time is a very precious commodity. You know, yeah, when we're out of time, that's it. We're out of time. We can't buy it. And we only get what God gives to us. So we want to be, you know, very, very clear about how we use our time, and that we use it in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And the fourth fundamental is the circle of influence, if you remember, where we have to circle ourselves with good people. All the time, friends, family, no one can be, you know, taking us away from what, you know, God has called us to do, but to keep us going forward in a positive way. And so you have to be, you know, very clear about who those people are in your life, family, friends, who have the potential to take you down, to set you back. And, you know, this is an important thing. It's called decision making, about who is in your life. What the circle, your circle of influence today, is it positive or negative?
It's tough to get rid of the some people you love, you know?
Absolutely. It is difficult. And this is where we have to, you know, try to remember that the priorities in the WINGS program is God first, and then you, and then your family and friends. Because the stronger you are, Keith, the more you can do for your family and your loved ones. And if people are hurting your development, your growth, your success, then your future is in jeopardy. Does that make sense? So you've got to be selfish enough to actually make sure that no one is hurting you. You can, you know, hurting your pathway to success. And if you remember, WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. So we were always growing, and we're always on a path to success. Success in my relationship with God, success in my education, in my mental, physical, and spiritual life, success in my family life with my wife, my children, my grandchildren, as a husband, a father, a grandfather, as a community leader, success in my work with my employer or in my own business, success in helping in the community, giving back, and also success with sports and hobbies and enjoying those things. All of those items are part of your weekly plan of action that we develop inside, you know, prison walls, so that when we come out, we've got an action plan to actually work. And this is important. Yeah. This is key, that we don't forget that. There's not, you know, day that goes by that it's not on our mind. It doesn't mean we have to fill up our week with so many things that we're tired, because you actually have to sleep as well. 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, 56 hours of rest will make you a better person. Just try getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep every day of the week. You will be very, very tired and frustrated and an unhappy person, because you don't have energy. You're too exhausted. So rest is the first thing we really have to, you know, allocate time for, to make sure we can go to work, so make sure we can pray, make sure we can feed our children, you know, and do whatever else we have to do that's important during a week. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
That's where most people fail at, not making an actual, not going through with the plans you made when you get out of jail. I've done that numerous times. just go back to jail.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we've been doing the Wings program since 1993. And this week, believe it or not, is our beginning of our 28th year. Okay, so that is a long time, and I've learned a great deal. And I'll just tell you that we have been to more than 100 schools and more than 8 prison facilities and on radio and television. And God has blessed us with the responsibility to help people like you and like me, people who need assistance, because in life, sometimes we need help and other times we give help. Does it make sense? And the stronger you are, the more people you can actually help. So this is a great opportunity to provide for you. Now, Keith, if we go back inside, prison walls, if you remember anything about the Wings program, if there's one reason why, you think other people can benefit from Wings, what would that reason be?
The video that you showed, I watched it twice, where there's these two pilots aren't listening to their instruments, and they crash into a mountain.
Okay.
Now, that had more of an effect than you probably know. Now, I took that, interpreted as how you wanted it. Now, we need to do that with our life. You know, you need to take action and pay attention and just show up and be responsible and things will work out. If you have good intentions, things will work out for you.
Absolutely. And you know, that was a great analogy that we used, and we used it for years. It's called the Flying Tiger 66 accident. It's a CFIT accident. It's a controlled flight into terrain where the pilots were flying a 747, and they were going into Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia at night. And the co-pilot wasn't ready to fly the approach, but the captain said, "No, we're going to do it anyway. I'll set you up." And the co-pilot wasn't ready. But the captain, in setting him up, was basically rushing him through the approach briefing and the setting up of the navigation equipment. And it's called a CFI accident, CFIT, which is controlled flight into terrain, because the crew believed that they were in control of the plane, but when they were actually on a collision course with a mountain and crashed. And even on the approach at about 2,500 feet, the captain said, "We're looking good." And he said that on the voice recorder. And on the way down towards the runway, which they thought, the crew actually, were making standard call-outs. And then all of a sudden, the ground proximity warning system began repeating this: "Pull up, pull up," and telling the crew to pull up. "You're on a course to hit a mountain." And 8 times they got that warning, and they tried to figure the problem out while they were going down towards what they thought was the runway, but it was very dark at night. It was actually a mountain. And by the time they actually figured out where they were 100 feet above the terrain, descending at about 800 to 1,000 feet a minute, and then crashed and were killed. And so when somebody tells you or me, Keith, to pull up, pull up, they're telling you God has sent them there in our lives to say, "Hey, you got to stop what you're doing. Take a look what you're doing before, it's too late." For those guys who had a total of 17,000 flight hours between the captain and the co-pilot, they're gone. And that's it. They're history. So all we can do is learn from them and from the mistake that was made by that crew. A very powerful video, and we call it controlled flight into terrain because the crew was actually controlling the plane and put it on a collision course with a mountain, but they thought it was the runway, and they actually hit the mountain, which was about 5 miles or so before the runway. The other side would be an uncontrolled flight into terrain where your life is out of control, the airplane is out of control and you know you're going down. It's not going to work out. And so this was the classic CFIT accident, which crews around the world have learned, you know, basically what not to do, you know, not to rush other crew members through an approach briefing. Make sure you're set up. And that's the same thing with takeoff. So in the Wings program, we use a lot of aviation analogies for those listening out there. And Keith brought that up, which is a great, you know, memory for me, because I've discussed literally, you know, dozens and dozens of accidents and incidents where we learn from pilots who made mistakes. Having been a pilot now for 42 years, you know, God has blessed me with that, you know, that inspiration to use aviation as an analogy. It's only two things we actually use in the Wings program. That is the Word of God, and we use aviation analogies. And of course, we do add poems and writings and things like that from time to time. But, you know, so that's a great thing that you brought up, Keith. And tell me now, so as we were talking, you know, how is your life going today? And what are your plans for the Christmas holidays?
Well, my plans for my Christmas holidays, I still have to go shopping for my family, but I spend it with them. My future, I'm the creator of my own destiny. I'm feeling optimistic in the stock market. But I'm a hard worker, and I'm dedicated, and I'm passionate. I'm just trying to find what it is that I love. I know it's people. I like to help people. I need to find a career that, you know, that chooses me.
Okay. And here's something from Scripture, okay? The Lord says this: seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. And so as you search for this, you know, life that you're trying to assemble and put together, you know, the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He also says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines every step. So as much as you and I want to be in control, the Lord calls us to submit and to just trust in him with all my heart, and so that I don't make any mistakes where I decided everything and, you know, whatever happened, happened. But when the Lord does it for us, he'll design a life for you and I that's better than you and I can ever design it. And he will give us what we need, not always what we want. I don't put my trust in the stock market because I know that the stock market can go up and it can go down. And the people, many of them who are invested in the market heavily, if the market goes down, they're losing a lot. Their attitude towards the day is one of somber and gloom, and sometimes they're very sad. And market goes up, they're happy. If you put your efforts and your focus on the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never disappoint you. The market will. Not to say we shouldn't plan for a rainy day or save for a rainy day, or, you know, plan, you know, for the future. We have to do that. But we have to be careful that we're not, you know, putting that first and God second. Does that make sense?
Yes, Joe.
Very important. And that's it, because you could have, you know, a lot of wealth and success in business, but be a very lonely person. You know, and I have friends who have lost their wives.
Seems like my trajectory.
Well, the key is to turn this, to turn this around and to really put our trust in God. And the Lord again says it, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Many times we try to figure things out, and the Lord says, you know, come to me, let me help you with this, but you got to trust in me. You got to be patient. Everything will work.
So this year I've had I'm only here right now, I think, because of the faith I had. I just for some reason, once again, you know, Jesus's lines pop in my head about the faith the size of a mustard seed, and I just have faith, and I just believe it's gonna work. I believe that if I have faith, I'm gonna succeed. Faith in God, faith in myself. If I believe in afterlife, and if I do right in this world, I'll do better in the next. I'm a firm believer, and I try to live like that.
Yep, and I appreciate that. And faith is a beautiful thing. It's a gift, and it's like a flower. We have to water it, and by watering it, we need to spend quality time with the Lord to grow in faith. Otherwise, you know, our faith can dwindle down, and so it's important that we have time for prayer each and every day. We have time for prayer alone. Time with our wives or our family, our children. We have time for a blessing before every meal. We have time to give thanks to the Lord for all our blessings each and every day, whether we're doing it privately or with another person or possibly in a prayer group. It's all good because we're focusing on God. And God will give you the peace you need to work well, to go to school, to make plans for a vacation, to help you and your children, to help your children to avoid things like drugs, alcohol. One of the great missions for me is to make sure that aviators learn from other people's mistakes. So for you, you've had 16 years of addiction. And if I were in your shoes, I would want to make sure every person, every child I come in contact with will be learning from my mistakes, from my prison time, from my addiction, the impact of addiction on my life, on my...
That's so important that you said that, because as a child, no one ever explained to me what addiction was, and I think if they had, I think I would have had a better understanding. And the process of going into it blindly and just taking a bunch and not know why I feel the way I feel, and then why do I want more? If someone would have just explained to me, I think I would have understood it better. Nowadays, things are more open than like the 90s. It seemed like people try to hide it more back then. People don't hide it today. So I think that was the difference, the time era, you know. But I believe that if I fully explain, give visual examples to my children, and then I could get the point across without... Most parents don't want to say anything. They don't want to bring it up. It's uncomfortable. I'd rather have my child succeed and know the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is very important, and I've known many, many people, hundreds, with addiction. We've had over 2,000 people just in the last 10 years come through the WINGS program, minimum. Inside the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, and probably, you know, thousands more. But I just tell you, at least a good percentage of them, 50% of the people who are in jail are in there for using or selling drugs. So,
100%.
As you look for your mission on how can I help people, my friend, you've got it in front of you. You've got 16 years. You're an expert.
I need to find what it... See, addicts are so hard to work with because they betray themselves. So there's something needs to happen. But, you know, I'm an outlaw in the eyes of these people because of my record. You know, I look horrible on paper. I don't get to articulate to anyone to take me serious. And I appreciate you, Joe, for that. But there's something that needs to be done by... These people with their drug addiction, it's leading them to destruction. And in the course of it, they're creating crime to fuel their drug habit. But as soon as they get to jail, it doesn't change anything. Nothing happens after the point they get the handcuffs and they go there. I've been through drug programs, and it's up to the person, first of all. So I'm not making excuses. It's up to the person. But there's something that needs to be changed in the lines of that. Because holding these people back for a few months on stay low from the drugs, it's not stopping anything.
Right. And
it's not that they're not being treated fairly, but they're also not acting fairly. So this is a very hard situation.
It is very difficult, and you know, this is an epidemic, okay, that we have for years, and it didn't just start.
There's only one solution that no one will ever do. It's to legalize everything and undo the black market on drugs. It's the only way this will ever work, and stop treating them like they're lower human people. You know, they're people just like us, but we have a stigma. Even I do. Again, when I see a person that looks homeless, I judge them automatically, and I know it's not right, but I've been treated the same way, and I understand. Something, a paradigm shift needs to happen in this addiction thing. Even the people that are judging other people have problems themselves. This is a very tough thing. There could be a judge sitting there sentencing someone for a drug possession, but they also have a prescription that they're addicted to. It's very hard.
Yeah, it does require discipline. It does require, you know, penalties. It does require counseling. And this is important because the reality is, and I've done many years of work with people who are addicted, that a drug addict will do anything to get the next high, including stealing from his mother, burglarizing
that's
a home.
Not them, and that's not them as people. Yeah. And it's a shame, but we have to act like that.
Right.
But we're not who we are at that moment, and we're just so focused, especially the heroin users. That's our 24-hour job. There's nothing that can come before our job.
Yeah.
It's the most insane thing I've ever had to live through.
Well, addiction is very powerful, and you know, whether it be drug, alcohol, gambling, sex, whatever it is, you know, there has to be a refocusing on something other than the habit that is pulling you, you know, down. And that's where the Lord comes in. And I want to just take a moment, Keith, I'm enjoying our conversation, to remind our listeners that you're listening to a Holy Spirit Radio here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My name is Joe Montoya, your host. We're talking with Keith Hunt, a wingman, a graduate of the Wings program, who has reached out to us outside prison walls and has asked for some assistance, some mentorship, and we're doing it right here on the air. And Keith, as we talk, I want you to listen also about one of the problems we have in the world today is the removal of God's word. Okay, and June 25th, 1962. The word of God, the prayer, praying in public schools was removed. And, many years ago, Judge Roy Moore, the Alabama Chief Justice, was fired for standing up for the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. So one of the things we want to do today is make the case for the word of God in our society. And I'm going to deliver some scripture here. And the first one is from Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God. And so today we see people trying to change the word of God, rewrite the word of God, coming out of the Bible, both the Old and New Testament. We see people ignoring the word of God. And when in fact God has said this in Matthew 4:4, he says, Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the word of God." And this is powerful. And I just put it out there, my friends, again, because we need to incorporate for guidance and direction the Word of God. It should be the root of all decision-making. It shouldn't be rewritten at a time in our nation when we truly need, you know, it's essential to succeed as a nation, as a world, for our families to succeed. 2 Timothy 2:16-17 says this, "All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is 2 Timothy. So based on that, we need to continue to reinforce conversations with the Word of God. James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says to do." From the book of James. And that comes from the doer of the Word. In Luke 11:28, it says, Blessed rather are those who hear the word and obey it. Isaiah 40:8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Matthew 7:24 says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock." It's a powerful scripture. And the word of God, you know, is key. Matthew 24:35 says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Psalms 18:30 says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." And the last scripture, Keith, is this, in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So as we go forth day to day, how much of the Word of God do we rely on? Do we read and incorporate in our phraseology, our vocabulary? Or is it something that we only do on Sundays for 1 hour? Is it an obligation? Or have we made it a priority? Because in a WINGS program, the priority list is this: God first, you second, family third, work fourth, community service fifth, and hobbies and sports last. Very important. And we know that there are times in all of our lives when God is last. His word is not even on the table. The book is closed. It's zipped closed. And there's not a word that comes out unless, you know, God draws us near and we begin to, you know, understand who God is. And then we can share that word. Does that make sense, Keith?
Yes. I more than anything just try to practice, not perfect, try to practice what Jesus preached. I don't run around. I get turned down when I start to talk about these things by most people. I like to speak with Jehovah's Witnesses about revelations when they come to the door, but I don't get to speak with anyone else about it, so I don't speak about it. I just try to live it. And it's a sin, and everybody shuts it down when I talk about it. Everyone around me, no one wants to hear it.
Well, that's what James...
doesn't mean I should stop. It's like the parable about the light, and how you bring a light into a dark room, it'll always light up the room. You can never make light dark. And I just need a little bit of light in the room. I try to be that.
That's great. And that's a great start. And that's all we can ask for, is that we actually offer a little bit of light in a world that's troubled, and a lot of people are selling gloom and doom. You know, to live it out is the key. You know, before we actually can, you know, share the word, we have to live out the word. We have to believe the word. We read it, you know, and we live it out, and one day at a time. Today, Keith, we know COVID-19 is very prominent, and I'm going to share with the folks a little bit about COVID-19 because we're talking about tough times. Most people who get COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus called SARS-CoV-2, will have only mild illness. You might ask, what does that mean? Mild COVID-19 cases still can make you feel badly, but you should be able to rest at home and recover fully without a trip to the hospital. Here's what to expect and how to take care of yourself. Scientists and researchers are constantly tracking infections and recoveries, but they have data only on confirmed cases, so they can't count people who don't get COVID-19 tests. However, experts also don't have information about the outcome of every infection. Early estimates predict that overall, COVID-19 recovery rate is between 97% and 99.75%. Not everyone who catches SARS-CoV-2 will notice symptoms. If you don't get them, they may show up 2 to 14 days after your infection. And those symptoms can vary from one person to the next. One of the most common signs is fever, which for most adults is 100.4 or higher. It means your body is trying to fight off the invader. About 50% of people who become ill have a dry cough. That's the kind that doesn't bring up any mucus or phlegm. But about a third have a cough with mucus. You also might feel tired. Less commonly, your throat may be sore and your head might ache. Your muscles and joints could hurt, and you might get chills, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. But remember, it's 97% to 99.75% success rate. Some people who had COVID-19 said they had trouble taking deep breaths and felt like they had a tight band wrapped around their chest. Others have likened the illness to a bad cold. Still others said it was the sickest they have ever felt. Early researchers suggested that it could take 2 weeks for your body to get over a mild illness, or up to 6 weeks for a severe case. Newer data show that recovery varies for different people depending on things like your age and overall health. Fatigue, headache, and trouble breathing were symptoms most likely to linger. CDC guidelines say that if you've been sick, you should isolate yourself at home until all of the following things have occurred. Number one, you haven't had a fever for 24 hours without using a fever-reducing medicine. Number two, your symptoms are better, though they might not be totally gone. And number three, it's been at least 10 days since your symptoms started. So a little bit about this, Keith, because all we hear about is the number of cases and the number of fatalities. But the reality is that 97% and better of the people who come down with the COVID will get well. And that's a beautiful thing. That gives us a lot of hope. And I truly believe that we will get through this in God's time, without question. And so as we continue to talk, Keith, I want to just remind our listeners again that coming up is December 7th, which we celebrate the memorial of the attack on Pearl Harbor, which took place on the morning of December 7th, 1941, when Japan launched a surprise attack on the U.S. Pacific Fleet's base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, as part of a plan to eliminate any potential challenge to Japanese conquest in Asia. So we know that this was a tough day for our nation, where 2,403 people were killed, another 1,178 people were wounded, six ships were destroyed, along with 169 Navy and Army airplanes. So that was a tough day. And this is a tough year that we're going through, without question. But I want to say that we have hope and vision for the future with our Lord's birth coming up and Christmas Day. It's a powerful time of the year to enjoy the love of God and to share that with each and every person that we can. So on our show today, Keith, we're going to go into a couple of the readings coming up. And I want you to, participate as you can. All right. This is the readings for December 6th, Sunday. And the first reading is from the book of Isaiah. Here it is. Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. And this is again a powerful time where we are called to give comfort to other people. We are called to bring the love of God to the people. And if we have love and peace to bring other people, that's a beautiful, you know, beginning to actually satisfy the necessities that people need. And so the Lord inspires us to go further, to do more. We should have a heart to do more, and it all starts with that relationship, that personal relationship with Christ, and to really fall into a loving relationship with our Lord and our Father through the Holy Spirit, and then to share that with other people. It's a process. It's a journey. And the word here today says to prepare the way of the Lord. What are we doing to prepare the way for Christ in daily life? Or are we plagued with fear? Because here the word says, fear not to cry out and say, here is your God. Okay? We need to get comfortable with that, and in the right way, in a loving way, to share, you know, the preparation for the Lord, as we know that, you know, God is going to come one day. Nobody knows the time of the day, but or the hour, but we know that, you know, we are called to bring that good news to other people, and it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. Okay, so Keith, as we're talking here about the reading from the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament, you know, I hope that, you know, this experience for you on the radio today has brought you some comfort. Has it?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Excellent. And I want to invite you to into the Wings program on the outside now to become part of our platform and to help other people. Through your expertise, you know, with dealing with addiction, we want you to, you know, be part of the Wings program. You know, we've been to five schools for a couple of years, you know, and we have touched a lot of kids by bringing Wings graduates into the schools to help kids to avoid, you know, the drug, the alcohol, because a lot of kids actually in high school suffer from addiction. So that's one of our great goals, to help to empower the Wings men to go further, to do more. And it's a journey. Now again, the stronger you are, the more you can do for other people. It all starts with you. The more you can do for yourself, your children, your family, and the community. Very important message. All right? Second reading comes from 2 Peter, and here it is. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay, But he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. Since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames and the elements melted by fire. But according to his promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him at peace. And this is the word of the Lord from the book of 2 Peter. And this isn't powerful. Right here, one of the great goals that you and I, Keith, have is to try to remain without spot or blemish. And we may be like leopards with many spots, but we have to cleanse that. We have to go forward, because it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And that's one of the mottos in the Wings program. As long as you're willing to make changes, okay, and go forward and stay without blemish, okay, then we're moving in the right direction. It's a journey. We're not perfect, but God's word says, you know, strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And with that goal in mind, we too, you know, can be ready to meet the Lord one day. But it's going to take work. We've all made mistakes, you know, from childhood on up as adults. The goal is to learn from our mistakes, like the guys in the Flying Tiger 66, that accident. That 747 accident is played over and over and over again, and it's actually flown in simulators where you can recreate the environment completely at the same airport and then stop the crew from moving in the wrong direction. And you take that into the real airplane and do it right so they can take care of their passengers. Isn't that something? Okay, so my friends, if you're listening out there, we're just again talking with Keith Hunt. We've got just a couple of minutes to go, and we've been talking about the upcoming readings for December 6th, and here is the gospel coming from the Gospel of Mark, okay, Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. And this is what he proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The gospel of the Lord. And so this is a powerful word from Mark about John the Baptist, who is preparing that way for the Lord's coming, who baptized the Lord. And you know, it's a beautiful reading, because he shows a lot of humility. Although he had tremendous fame because he's baptizing people, he says, I am not worthy to loosen the sandals, the thongs of his sandals. It's powerful. He shows that humility, and we too have to learn, you know, how to be more humble. You know, humility is one of the great things that people need to admit that they have addiction. You know, I've gone to a lot of AA meetings and people stand up there and they say, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. It takes a lot of humility to do that. In the Wings program, people will say, you know, incredible things to me inside prison walls. They will answer questions, you know, what will people say about you if you died tomorrow and they did your eulogy? What would you want them to say about you if you died in 30 years from today? Takes a lot of humility to admit, you know, some of the things that are done in this world. And it's a journey because we as men have to learn to be more humble, more compassionate, more understanding, more patient, more loving, more generous. And this is important. You know, we have many things out there that are countering those, like jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. So, Keith, we're transforming. We're in formation, you know, and the Lord is calling us to a new life, you know.
I have a perfect example for you.
Please share it.
Okay. Share, I should tell all, but okay, I got out of jail in April. Now, I was struggling to find work because of the COVID just came. Amazon wouldn't hire me. Lyft won't hire me. Still to this day, Uber. So I stood on Roosevelt Boulevard and Rowan Street with a sign for 1 hour. I didn't make anything. I wanted $10 for cigarettes. So the next day, I found a job, and that job got a little bit dangerous, and I got a better job. And I made a good way since I've been out. I've worked hard. I've worked as much as I could. I try to be there for my family as much as possible. But it's just funny how I was humble enough to do that. And I got blessed.
That's great. And, you know, the blessings of obedience are very great. And we've shared them many times. They come from Moses. Moses was the vehicle by which, you know, God delivered that message, that when we follow the Lord's word, and the Lord says, be careful to do exactly as I tell you to do, to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as I tell you to do so you can live and prosper, so you can live a good life, live a life of increase where you're getting things from life, not a life of decrease where you're losing things. Very, very important. My friends, we're coming up on the top of the hour here, and we only have a short time left. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. I want to thank Keith Hunt for joining us, Keith, and for sharing your story about humility and your story of addiction with us. I want to thank you for being in the Wings program. I also want to thank Dale and Jane for having me back on the air and for Frank for producing our show. I want to remind everybody that on the 25th of December, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. In the spirit of Christmas, please remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Try not to get caught up in all of the hustle and bustle, all of the rushing around, all of the shopping, and enjoy the peace and serenity of the Christmas season. My friends, it has been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. May God bless you. And Keith, again, I want to just say sincerely, I wish you the very best for the Christmas season and for the new year 2021. God bless you and your family. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, everybody, and God bless.